for the second Sunday in Advent, repentance being the theme. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. John the Baptist called out in the wilderness, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Christ himself hath suffered being tempted. By his holy life and innocent death, he hath conquered Satan and is able to help us that are tempted. Let us pray. Almighty God, your holy word has called us to repent of sin and walk in your path of righteousness. For the sake of Jesus Christ, you have not quickly judged the world for sin, but have given all a time of grace and a call to turn from evil ways. By the power of your Spirit, turn our hearts to you. Make us grow in our obedience to your word. In Jesus, you have revealed to us your holy love. Make us to love one another as he has loved us, and to serve one another as if we were serving you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Alleluia. Behold, the King cometh. O come, let us worship him.
Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills is his also. Is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his. And glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Behold, the King cometh. O come, let us worship him. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and ye shall have gladness of heart. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, that thou leadest Joseph like a flock. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. The Old Testament lesson for this second Sunday in Advent is written in the fourth chapter of the book of the prophet Malachi, beginning at the first verse. For behold, the day comes, it burns as a furnace, and all the proud and all who work wickedness will be stubble. And the day that comes will burn them up, says the Lord of armies, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. You will go out and leap like calves of the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded to him in Horeb for all Israel, even statutes and ordinances. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in the 15th chapter of Romans, beginning at the 4th verse. Brothers, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through perseverance and through encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of perseverance and of encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another, even as Christ also welcomed you to the glory of God. Now I say that Christ has been made a servant of the circumcision for the truth of God, that he might confirm the promises given to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, Therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Again he says, Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. Again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, There will be the root of Jesse, he who arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles will hope. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come, and shall not keep silence. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Alleluia! The powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Alleluia! The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth anxiety of nations in perplexity, for the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting for fear, and for expectation of the things which are coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory. But when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. He told them a parable. See the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see it and know by your own selves that the summer is already near. Even so, you also, when you see these things happening, know that God's kingdom is near. Amen. I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things are accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So be careful, or your hearts will be loaded down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day will come on you suddenly. For it will come like a snare on all those who dwell on the surface of all the earth. Therefore, be watchful all the time, praying that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will happen, and to stand before the Son of Man. Here ends the Gospel. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. In his days shall Judah be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, not all of you are on social media, and there's probably wisdom in that. Those who don't probably make better use of their time all around, but there's one thing on social media, on Facebook, that I do enjoy, and it's called memories. And in memories, it'll show you posts or pictures or other things that happened on that calendar day in the years past. So especially if you have little kids, you can go back and see the pictures, watching them grow up. But this last week, on November 29th, this last Tuesday, the memories thing popped up for me on my phone. And for November 29, 2021, exactly 1 year ago, I had pictures last year of all the yard work I had gotten done. Pictures of all these bags of leaves, nice green grassy backyards, kids playing outside in hoodies. That was last year. But then I looked up from my phone this year on November 29th, and you know what I saw? A blizzard. And there I was with my kids, and they weren't in hoodies, they were in pajamas enjoying their first snow day of the winter. It was the exact same day, November 29th. One was a nice, warm fall day. The other was a blizzard. That's the difference a year makes. Now, that might come as a surprise for someone from the South, or maybe someone from California, that you could have the exact same time of year and completely different weather. But we're Iowans. We know that when the temperature drops in October, when the leaves fall, when the harvest is near its close, that means all bets are off when it comes to the weather. Now, Jesus in our gospel, he talks about the sign of the fig tree and the trees, that when they're in bloom, summer is at hand. But we can take that principle and apply it to the season we're in, the time of year that we're in here. Again, when the temps drop, when the leaves are on the ground, we know that means that the first blizzard of the year is near, and it can happen at any moment. And it doesn't really matter if you enjoyed the warmth of summer, if you love the Christmas of the fall, it doesn't matter. Because when the leaves begin to drop, you better have your shovel ready, your snowblower tuned, and the salt in the bucket. You better have your winter clothes out from the basement. Because if you still have your sunscreen out and your shorts on when the first snowstorm hits, that's too bad for you. You're in Iowa. You should have known better. You shouldn't have gotten so comfortable with the summer. You should have read the signs. Your heart may be in the summer, but the air outside, it's winter now. So if you want summer, that's just too bad for you. And that's exactly what Jesus is warning us about in today's gospel. with his second advent, his second coming. He says there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, just as the signs of winter and snowstorms are obvious to us Iowans, so are the signs of the end times obvious of Jesus' return. And just look at the signs Jesus talks about on and around the earth. He says the sun, moon, and stars. Remember, in Genesis 1, God created those to rule the day and the night, to order the seasons. But one of the signs of his return is that the sun, moon, and stars, they all go dark, which means night and day, spring, summer, fall, and winter, they all come to a screeching halt, and they're no more. And it's this halt in the days and seasons which will shake not just the time that God ordained and the seasons that he set up, but it will also make the seas roar and cause the whole earth to quake. And not just the earth will shake, but heaven as well will shake just as violently. Because just as the gates of the ancient cities were opened for the kings to ride into glory, so will the mighty gates of earth and heaven be ripped open, brought to an end, as the king comes in his cloud with all power and glory. And so great is our Lord's glory on that day, so mighty will be his power, so marvelous will his second coming be, that all creation will halt and end when he arrives. And if you think our first blizzard of the year catches people and schools off guard, just see how off guard people will be when Christ returns suddenly. They'll faint with fear and foreboding, with great apprehension. Billions of people will begin to witness this, and then will just drop. But what else are they going to do? How else can a person respond when the time and the season stop? Just slam to a halt. When the sky grows dark, when the earth begins to melt beneath them, what else are they going to do? If one doesn't expect it or anticipate it, you can't wrap your mind around it. You can't take it in. Dropping from fear is all that is left for a person to do. And that's just what Jesus warns us about. That's what he warns his church about, saying, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth." Notice what's in our Lord's warning here. He's not warning you about your mind or your knowledge or what you know about the last day. If you're well catechized, if you've heard this part of Scripture before, the knowledge of the last day isn't an issue, because you know of the awesome things that are said to happen on that day. So our Lord doesn't warn about that. Instead, our Lord warns us about our hearts and the last day, about our hearts being weighed down with dissipation. But the word there might be better translated gluttony, overindulgence. He warns us about becoming so comfortable in this life with food, drink, phone and TV, games, sports, comfortable clothes, comfy furniture. We're in the richest nation in the world. It's easy to get lulled to sleep and stop expecting and anticipating what's going to come. He warns about our hearts being weighed down with drunkenness, really any addiction that takes us out of our right mind, whether it's alcohol, hard drugs, gambling, pornography, whatever takes our right minds away from us. Because if one is not in his right mind, how can he even anticipate the summer or winter, let alone the Son of Man coming in glory? He warns us also about our hearts being weighed down by the cares of this life, about the earthly things that our Father already knows we need. Paying the bills, a house and home, spouse and family, children, food and clothes. Christ says about all these things, "Watch yourselves lest your hearts be weighed down." And we know Oh, how easy it is for our hearts to get weighed down. In fact, we come in here every Sunday with heavy hearts from each week, from the difficulties of each week. We know that what our Lord is talking about here. So instead of having weighed down hearts, our Lord commands us instead to stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So don't be weighed down, he says. Stay awake instead. But tell me, how hard is it to take these weights off your own heart? Again, you live in the richest country in the history of the world. Are you really ready to deprive yourself of comforts that help you sleep easy? How hard is it also to stop yourself from the addiction when we are so surrounded by every kind of vice? It's so easily accessible anywhere you go. And is there ever a day in your life when a bill doesn't become due, when some money isn't being drawn out of your bank account? How are you going to remove these weights from your heart? They're so constant. They're so prevalent. How are you going to remove them from your heart to prepare for when the sky falls, when the earth melts, when the seas are swallowed up? Because Christ warns you, if those weights aren't removed, you can't escape any of this. You can't escape what is to come upon everyone over all the face of the earth. No one's going to avoid it, you included. How can you remove these weights so you can escape that and stand before the Son of Man? We're weighted down. All we can expect to do in and of ourselves really is faint from fear when the last day comes. We understand that. We can do that. But to remove all these weights from our hearts, that's much tougher. If it all depended on us, our fate would just be nearly drop dead. However, did you catch what the church, in all her wisdom, had us pray just a moment ago in the collect? Look in your bulletins. Look at the collect for a little bit. It reads, it's praying to our Father in heaven. It reads, stir up our hearts, O Lord. Stir up our hearts to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, so that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Notice what we don't pray. We don't say, Lord, we've kept our hearts from being weighed down. We've stirred up our own hearts. We've excited our own hearts. We've made ready the way of your Son, so please send him. He doesn't pray for anything like that. That'd be ridiculous. No, instead, the church turns to her God and prays what says in effect, my God, I cannot remove these weights from my own heart. I cannot make ready the way of your Son to my heart. I cannot serve you with a pure mind. So please, God, you stir up my heart. You excite my heart. You prepare for the way of your Son. Because if you don't do it, I have no escape. That's what we're praying. And how does God answer this? How does he stir up our hearts? How does he prepare the way of Christ into our hearts? Well, Christ tells us, verse 31. He says, so also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near, that the left-hand kingdom is going away, the right-hand kingdom is being established eternally. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The answer's right there if you caught it. Only one thing only will survive the end of the world, the end of the heavens and the earth. Only one thing will free your hearts and stir them and prepare the way for the one who will come. Christ says it right here. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not ever pass away. And the Greek is much stronger. They kind of mild with this in English. He's really saying, my words will absolutely, positively, never, ever pass away. The Word of God is the only thing which will not pass away. And the only ones who will not pass away are those inside the Word of God, like Noah was inside the ark. The Word of God comes to us with our hearts weighed down, and it leads us to repentance. And in repentance is where every weight of the heart, all guilt of sin, is lifted from our heart and put on Christ. The Word brings us to repentance. And then it brings to us Christ crucified Himself. He who suffered all that weight and guilt on the cross for our sake. Who with His death frees our heart so we can finally stand before His cross. The only way we stand before the Son of Man is when His death frees our heart from all of that weight. And with His resurrection, and our hearts freed, His resurrection stirs up our hearts so we can live, so we can prepare, so we can watch for the final signs of the final season to come. That is why we are baptized into the Word, so that in the waters the weights may be removed, so we can stand and rise in the waters, unburdened and free, so that in the Word we can also partake. You will come up here, you will kneel to eat and drink, and then you'll be strengthened. And you'll straighten up. Stand up, straighten up, and raise your heads. Because you'll be ready to stand before the Son of Man. Which is what our Lord tells us to do in the final day. Those are His instructions. He says, now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. But these things which begin to take place, we shouldn't understand them as just those awesome events with the sun, moon, and stars going dark and everything shaking. The things which began to take place to usher in that day of judgment, those things started long ago. You see, that's the reason why we hear this lesson of the final day as we prepare for our Lord's birth. This is why we read about our Lord's second advent as we prepare to celebrate His first advent. It's to show us that there is no end without a beginning. There is no beginning without an end. As one theologian put it, this lesson shows us that there is no divine plan. There is no Christmas without its divine purpose, the judgment. There is no prophecy without its fulfillment. There is no fulfillment without its joy. There is no time without its eternity. No faith without its fruition. There is no Savior without His saved. He goes on to say that the first advent cannot be considered without its completion in the second advent. The second advent, the last day, can't be considered without its origins in the first advent. If you want to prepare for Christmas, if you want to prepare for the beginnings of the first advent, we need to see where it leads to the day of judgment. These things which Christ talks about here, they began to take place in Bethlehem at our Lord's incarnation and birth to Mary. They began to take place as He fulfilled all prophecy, as He took His cross and hung there while the skies grew dark and the earth and heaven shook. These things began to take place not just on the last day, but when He was resurrected and ascended into heaven. These things continue to take place in every baptism, in every absolution, in every act of preaching, in every Lord's Supper. All these things take place to free your hearts, to give you new hearts. Hearts won for you on the cross of Christ crucified. Hearts given to you in the Word and sacraments which will endure forever. So as we repent, as our hearts are stirred by the Word that we've heard, after this sermon, let us straighten up, let us raise our heads, let us sing the offertory loudly with praise for God, because our redemption today draws near here at this altar. Just as it will draw near and come down in a cloud on that last day, where it will close once and for all the cycle of all His advents and bring to completion His redemption. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom shall he reign from henceforth, even forever. Alleluia. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom shall he reign from henceforth, even forever. Alleluia.
O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day. O Lord, hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Vouchsafe, O Lord, this day, to keep us without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us, as our trust is in thee. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, so that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. And we beseech you so to implant your word in us that, in good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith by patient continuance and well-doing. Most heartily, we beseech you so to rule and govern your Church Catholic, with all her pastors and ministers, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, whereby faith toward you may be strengthened, love and charity increased in us toward all mankind, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to Joseph, our President, the Congress of these United States, Kim, our Governor, the legislature of this state, and to all our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after your good pleasure, to the maintenance of righteousness, and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May it please you also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity and hostilities, and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are in suffering for your name's sake, comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of your fatherly will. Especially do we pray for those that we name in our hearts at this time. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat you, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions, but out of your unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all men, and especially of them that believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring before you. For by his blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour shall come, support us by your power and receive us into your everlasting kingdom. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We give thanks unto thee, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that thou hast protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech thee to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil,
that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds, we may serve and please Thee. Into Thy hands we commend our bodies and our souls, and all that is ours. Let Thy holy angel have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto Thee. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.